Thank you. You may be seated. I do always count it a privilege to be able to come up here and just share with my brothers and sisters what God has laid on my heart. And it's just kind of neat, the path that this always takes. The pastor had talked to me a few weeks back about possibly speaking when they went to see Bryce home. And so I had probably accomplished 3/4 of that message when the pastor said that I didn't need to speak then, but save it because time was coming that I would probably need to do that. So I started out here, and then as I started working on it again this week, you know, I went like here, and then as God was showing me different scriptures, I went like here, and then now I'm over here. So it was like, it's amazing what God teaches you as you work through scriptures. So hopefully God will bless his servant this day, that what I have to offer you is what God taught me through this. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you that it truly is a privilege to come up here and share with my brothers and sisters in Christ what you allowed me to learn. So Father, I pray that you would empty me of Arnie Bartz and fill me with Jesus Christ. Help the words that I speak not be yours, but help them to be yours. Help me not to add to or take from your words, but let your words stand true. Because Father, I don't have to fluff them up, because they are true and they are pointed and they are for us. So Lord, help me to just bring honor and glory to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 103, verse 1 and 2 is my foundation of the scripture this day. And basically, as I was looking at this is basically a passage of scripture which is a composition of praise to God, the covenant God of Israel. In other words, it was like a hymn. It is a hymn that David is singing, speaking, and as we read it, so it is that composition of praise. So, in the way it reads in Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." When I was looking at that passage of scripture and I was looking at the word bless, we pray in our own lives, "Lord, would you bless me with this? Would you bless me with that? Would you?" We're asking for Lord's blessings, asking for the Lord to do something for me, to give me something, to shower something upon me. And I'm thinking, how do I, in return, bless the Lord? I cannot shower him with anything. I can shower him with my praise. But there's nothing that I can earthly give to my Father that he gives like what he gives to me. But when I was looking at that word bless, basically it was making much of him. It was to say good things about the Lord in a spirit of admiration, of gratitude, and wonderment. It's basically giving back to God, allowing God to know his goodness to us on an everyday basis. In our prayer lives, we're more apt to give the grocery list of needs than what we are to stop and praise God for his absolute greatness to us, for his absolute, what he gives to us on an everyday basis, whether it's life and breath, whether it's the characteristics, the attributes of whatever God has given us, we forget to honor him with praise. So it is to say good things about the Lord in a spirit of admiration, gratitude, and wonderment. We as believers, we only do that sometimes when God has showered us with something. That's the only time that we want to give back to him, or we think about giving back to him what is due him, to bless his holy name. And David, when you're looking at this, he's saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's reaching into his very soul to do this with all that is in him. Do we do that? Do we really reach down and from the foundation of ourselves give God his due praise? It was something that made me stop and think. In 1 Chronicles, I've got a lot of scriptures. You can just write them down today. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23 to 25, it says, "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. So here it's telling us to sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. And then he is greatly to be praised. Our lips can do so much for God. To declare, to sing, to praise him. Are we doing that in our everyday life? It made me think of an example in my office. On a Monday morning, everyone comes back into the office, and we're usually chatting about the football game or what took place in our life that weekend, who ate where, who did what funny story somebody has to share. And I thought, how neat would it be to work with my fellow brothers and sisters and to be able to show up at the office and on a Monday morning and say, whoa, the pastor really broke it down on Sunday, didn't he? Man, the scripture that he had to offer us was like, bam! You know, to be able to offer up praise about what took place on a worship service. Wouldn't that be neat to be able to have that kind of time with those that love God instead of going into an office and listening to the chatter of other things? And I just thought, wow, that would be so special just to be able to do that. But we can in our own lives be able to do that. We just forget to do that. In verse 1, it's basically saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's exhorting his soul. He's looking at his immortal. He's reaching into his immortal nature. He's asking that all that is in him. Can't you feel the urgency that David wants from his whole body to bless the Lord? All of his senses, all of his faculties. And he wants to praise and worship the holy name of God. He realizes that in Isaiah 43:7, that God is saying that he made us and he made us to glorify him. He made us to make much of him. And I think David is realizing that he needs to make much of God because of all that God has done for him. In Psalm 150, verse 2, it says, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Do we praise God for his excellent greatness? Do we praise him for his power, for his magnificence, for his sovereignty, for his authority? Do we tell God of his excellent greatness? As I sat there contemplating this message, and I thought, how do I think of God and his excellent greatness? I mean, I know God loves me. And how do I picture this of how do I praise him for his excellent greatness? And this picture came to my mind that we think of God looking down upon us and just seeing us like I'm looking down at you and I can see all of you people. But now really think of God looking down from the heavens that are higher up than what we can see. We can see as far as the stars are, but he's higher than that. So think of yourself sitting on the highest cliff and looking down at the sand. Now picture yourself trying to see exclusively one grain of that sand and be able to see a singular speck of grain of sand. I can't in my mind because I see accumulative sand, all the sand. I can't in my mind stand on a high cliff, look down, and be able to spot one grain of sand that can measure. They say a grain of sand can be anywhere from 5 millimeters to 0.2 millimeters. I mean, that's really small. And God can see us from the heavens, but yet I can't stand on a cliff and look down and see a speck of sand, a grain of sand, and make it singular to see that one piece. I can see all of it. But God is so great that he can look down at us and he can just see Arnie Bartz if he wants to see Arnie Bartz. He can just see Ellen if he wants to just see Ellen. He can see us collectively worshiping him this day. Isn't that the ultimate greatness of God, that he sees us in our everyday? And that's not even talking about the greatness that he showers upon us. we are to proclaim his excellent greatness. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and depth and length and height, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So that you can understand the immeasurable width of God's love for us. Immeasurable, because you can't think of the height, the length, the depth, the width of Christ's love for us. And the understanding that he wants to give to us through his knowledge of him. But he does that because he fills us with what? The fullness of God. Just as God filled Christ with his fullness, Christ wants to in turn give us all of what is in him. He wants to give us all of his attributes. He wants to give us all of his characteristics. He wants us to accept those things so that we can praise him, because all of those things come from him. And he wants us to live with him in those things. He wants to fill us with his fullness. He wants us to be like Christ. He wants us to look in that mirror and see, are we Christ-like? It makes me think of basketball, of course, right? Everything about Arnie is usually about a basketball story. Years ago, when Michael Jordan played, everyone wanted to be what? Like Mike. So now, if you started watching kids play basketball after Michael Jordan started playing basketball, you'll notice that nobody could do a layup, nobody could do a shot without their tongue hanging out of their mouth. Because that's the picture that you got of Michael Jordan going in with his arms like this, going in for the layup, and his tongue is hanging out of his mouth. So now we have to play ball with our tongue hanging out of our mouth. And Michael Jordan just didn't come up and do a jump shot. He had to do one of those, you know, with the leg out extended type things. So now kids, when they do a jump shot, they don't just jump and shoot. They have to do that like off balance type thing. And now it's Seth Curry. Now the game is played outside the three-point arc. Everyone wants the long shot. So what do we want to be like? We want to be like Michael Jordan. We want to be like Seth Curry. Why don't we want the fullness of God to be like Jesus Christ? We should want to emulate him. We should want to live our lives like Jesus Christ wanted, so that we are offering him praise by the life that we're living for him, because that's the way he wanted us to live. He fills us with his fullness if we accept that, which we should accept that. In verse 2, going back to Psalms 103, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." David is urging his soul, with all that he has, to forget not what God is about, what God has done for him, his benefits. So that's what I'm looking at this morning, are some of the benefits that you see in those 22 verses of Psalm 103. You can look down through there and see that God has many benefits. And I'm just going to point out a few. In verse 3, it talks about that he forgives all our iniquities. And in verse 12, he removes all of our transgressions. Isn't that great news? Isn't that worthy of our gratitude? So what he's saying in Psalm 103, he takes away all of our transgressions. He takes away all of our iniquity. All of it is by saying that he made much of it. We're to make much of him. He created us, right? And we're to make much of him. But we recognize that we came into this world, we came in with sin in our life, and that we were all sinful. And then we recognize that there's a penalty for our sinfulness, and that it's death. That we were separated from him. And then we realize that God loved us so much that he gave himself for us. That we have And we can have life if we believe in him. And we can call upon him and call upon the very name of Jesus Christ. And that when we call upon him, we can be saved. But we have to confess with our mouth. We have to believe with our hearts that he died and raised again, was raised again. And when we do that, we have life. And then we believe that, and then we know that in John 5:12, that whoever has the Son has what? Has life. That is worthy of his praise. That is a benefit of God. He removes all of our iniquities. He removes all of our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Where does the east end and where does the west begin? We think of it as east coast to California, the west coast. East and west, if you look at the globe, just keeps going around and around. That's how far God forgives our iniquities and our transgressions. That is worthy of our praise. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He changes us. He comes to us and does all that beginning work. We just have to accept that. That is worthy of honor. When we stop and take a look at our lives and see where we've been and what God did for us and how he pulled us up out of our own mud and our slime, and then he traded our filthiness and he went to the cross for us and gave us his robe of righteousness. Do we praise him for things like that? Do we praise him in our prayer life? Do we bless the Lord with all of our soul because of what he did for us? In verse 5, going back to Psalm again. Who satisfies you with good? Does God satisfy us? Do we see our satisfaction in God? In Matthew 5, verse 6, it talks about if I seek God's righteous character in my life, if I seek and I desire Christ and his righteous character in my life, that righteous character that he'll give me will satisfy me. Because why will it satisfy me? I will have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And a relationship with Jesus Christ will satisfy us. That's the good that God, that Christ does for us. He satisfies us with himself. We can make much of him, and we can take him into our hearts, and he will deliver us from all those things that set us apart from him. And then we find our satisfaction in God, our contentment in God, in whatever situation it is. We talked about in our Sunday school class in Philippians 4:10-13, where Paul was content in everything, in every situation, whether he had a little, whether he had a lot, whether it was a tough time or was a good time, Paul was content in God. How? Because God strengthened him. God gave him the ability, the strength, to see those days through that when he didn't have much, he still knew that he had God. Do we pray that way? Do we think that way? That on our toughest moments, on those tough days, do we still give God the honor and the praise and the blessing that is due him? A lot of times, we just think of ourselves because we're not feeling good. We're out of sorts that day. We had a bad situation at work. We had words with somebody. We need to stop and think about what Christ has done for us, how he delivered us, all of the benefits that God gives us from himself, all the fullness that he wants to impart upon us. That is a blessing that we forget in our everyday walk. It makes me think of the song. It was funny because I was trying to think of the words this morning. You couldn't think of just the words by talking them through. Brenda had to like sing the song to me so that I could remember it, because then one song just like ran into another song and I butchered it. But Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living because he lives. Because Christ is alive, he is not dead. Because Christ lives, and he lives in me, I can face tomorrow. And no matter what tomorrow brings, there's still satisfaction. Whether tomorrow's a tough day, whether we know we have a tough week ahead of us, or whether it's an easy week ahead of us, there is still satisfaction in Jesus Christ. We can still be content. We can still be happy. Because God will deliver us through. He empowers us and he strengthens us to get through what lies ahead on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the rest of the week. We praise God because whatever life throws at us, we can handle because Christ strengthens us. Because he does live in us. In Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does he uphold from us. Does he hold back from us when we walk rightly, when we walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? He wants us to walk that way. He wants to shower us with his blessings, which in return, we need to get returned to him what is due him, and that's our blessings. Going back to Psalm 103 again. In verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is the great part about God too, that God doesn't give me what I deserve, but he does give me what I don't deserve. Isn't that, I mean, that's always awesome to think about. He doesn't make me pay for my, he doesn't punish me for my sins. That he should have punished me for my sins of. But in return, he gave me life. Life with him. Life eternal. Life today with him. I didn't deserve that. We deserve death. But this was a gift of God. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, he gave us the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, we'll read that. And you were dead in the transgressions, or excuse me, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. We were all sinners like that. The passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of the grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk with them, walk in them. It makes you stop and realize that Christ chose us before the foundation of the world. He died. He came into this world and gave of himself for us. And he empowers us to walk with him all the days of our life. He gives us life in and through him. Do we bless him for that? Do we honor him with our lips for that? Or do we just honor him for getting us through our day-by-day walk? This was a gift of God. And it's great to know that in Psalms 30, verse 5, it says that God is slow to anger. For his anger is not, but is, but is, For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. God blesses us with his favor for a lifetime. Aren't we lucky? Aren't we blessed that God's wrath does not shine down upon us on a daily basis? You can look at our lives and think, wow, God, I deserved some major punishment for my actions yesterday, for my conduct yesterday, for what I said to this person. I often thought of these Old Testament stories where God would just zap somebody and they would die. And I thought, how blessed we are that God doesn't do that anymore, that he doesn't just look down on us and say, okay, Arnie, I've had enough of you. Done away with. But he forgives me of my sins. And he wants me to recognize his goodness in my life, that everything that I have comes from him. Everything that should come out of my lips is to honor and praise him. In Psalms, or in the going back to the Psalm again, in 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Isn't it great that God forgives us of our sins and reminds us of them no more? We remind ourselves of them, but God forgets them. He doesn't come back and point his finger at us. He doesn't shake his head at us and say, yeah, once again, Arnie's doing this, or once again, Rusty's doing this. God forgets them, and they're no more. He doesn't. He went to his father, and he forgave us, and he doesn't go back and say, you know, Arnie's doing the same thing again. No, he's forget that. He's forgiven me for today's sins and tomorrow's sins and the next days. He forgave me one time for all times. His steadfast love is something that we can just cling to because it never changes. It's immovable. It's dependable. Much more so than we in our own walk, in our everyday lives. We can change day by day. Our attitudes can change day by day. Our conduct can change day by day. Our outlook on things can change day by day. In Christ, he's steadfast. He doesn't move. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. His word is truth. His word is a rock. We can hang our hats on it. He is dependable. And the best verse that I always love, and I think on it just about every morning when I go to work, is Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never stops. His steadfast love for us. God does not have one of those days where he thinks, Mooch, I only love you a little bit today because you really messed up yesterday. God loves us with all of his heart every day. Sometimes we don't want to put up with people. God always puts up with us. Sometimes we have a bad attitude about people or we see something negative in someone. God never does that. God's love is steadfast. It never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning that you wake up and you have life and your breath and your eyes open up, that's a mercy that he's given you that day. Do you bless the Lord for it? Do you thank God every day? Father, I didn't deserve today, but you gave me another day. Now what am I going to do with it? How am I going to live my life this day? Is it in my own power or is it through the strength and power of Jesus Christ? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's a beneficial action. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is a faithful God. His word is true. And this passage of scripture just made me think about my life, our lives as Christians. We have much to praise God about. We have much to be to thank God for his blessings every day. Are we doing that? I pray that in your time with God, in your prayer time, in your quiet time, that not only are you giving God your needs and desires and praying for brothers and sisters in Christ in our own church and praying for those who are sick, but take time to bless God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your faculties, because God is worthy of that. He has done so much for us and does so much for us and will continue to do so much for us that we just forget it. Sometimes we just expect it. And that's the wrong attitude. God is a God of love, and he loves us and wants us to live for him, wants his fullness to be in us, to enjoy our relationship with him, because he has steadfast love for us. If anything, I hope to spur you this day to think on that in your prayer life, to spend time in your prayer life, whether it's one day of the week, one of your hours, one of your half hours, however you do it, but to spend one time just listing God all the things that are his benefits, because we don't give God enough praise for his benefits. We give God praise for what he's done in my life today, but we don't list all of God's benefits. Spend time doing that and see how much more you see of God's greatness. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that, Lord, as David was saying, just bless the Lord with all of our soul. Father, do we do that? Or do we just do it rotely? Lord, thanking you for the everyday thankfulness of what you've given to us. But Lord, do we really list all of your attributes? Do we think of all the ways that you've blessed us, that we can bless you back, that we can say words of gratitude to you, to honor you? Because Lord, we need to make much of you. Do we share you with others? Lord, do we bless you with our actions, with our lips, with our conduct? Father, I pray that we spend time honoring you and blessing you. Because, Father, without you, we are nothing. Lord, I thank you that I need you every day of my life. That, Lord, if I'm not plugged into you, Lord, if I'm disconnected from you, then like John 15:5 says, there's nothing I can do because I'm not connected to the vine and the branch are not connected. Father, I need you. I need to be connected to you. I need your love in me, your steadfast love in me. And Father, I pray that as a church family, we need that also, that each and every one of us would understand the rock solidness of Jesus Christ in our life and how dependable you are. Lord, we can live our lives in our own. But Father, we're not enjoying the relationship that you want us to enjoy and the satisfaction that you want to give us if we walk apart from you in our own strength. So help us, Father, to see day by day of how and what you do for us and to return to you with our lips your praise. And Lord, we have, like what we're going to be singing, 10,000 reasons to give you. Lord, we could spend the rest of our lives taking time out to praise you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for being God. Thank you for seeing me as a speck of sand and pulling me up, Lord, and working in my life. Thank you that my happiness is found in Jesus Christ. Thank you that my life is found in Jesus Christ. Thank you that as a church, we desire to know more about you, and we do pant as a deer to grow in our faith for Jesus Christ. So, Father, continue to work us down that path that you've laid out before us, and continue to allow us to marvel over your greatness. And I pray this in your name. Amen.